Boot Camp, Tefakapakari, Youth Program, a case study of state-funded violence and abuse of children and young people needing care and protection. Producer's note, this document shows the logo of the Abuse in Care, Royal Commission of Inquiry. This document was produced as a single audio file using synthetic speech, primarily for blind, deafblind and low vision people, by Accessible Information and Communications Limited, on the 28th of July 2024. Being a single file, navigation to different sections is not supported. With synthetic speech, all care is taken to ensure good pronunciation, including words in Te Reo Māori, but some pronunciation limitations are still unavoidable. In this document there are links to long website URLs. If we think a URL may be difficult to hear or remember, our approach is to set it up as a short URL in the form aicomps.nz followed by a slash in then four digits, which is much easier to hear and remember than a typical URL. When you browse to one of these URLs, your browser will automatically redirect to the original long URL. End of producer's note. Boot Camp, Te Whakapakari, Youth Program, a case study of state-funded violence and abuse of children and young people needing care and protection. Context, commissioners directed that some case studies be developed for a variety of reasons, including to highlight the experiences of particular communities of survivors, across the inquiry period. Trigger warning, we honor and uphold the dignity of survivors who have so bravely shared their stories here. We acknowledge that some content contains explicit descriptions of tuukino abuse, harm and trauma, and may evoke strong negative, emotional responses for readers. Although this response may be unpleasant and difficult to tolerate, it is also appropriate to feel upset. However, if you or someone in your close circle needs support, please contact your GP or healthcare provider. Respect others' truths, breathe deeply, take care of your spirit and be gentle with your heart. Executive Summary. Te Whakapakari Youth Program, Whakapakari, was started by John Da Silva in 1977 on Ōta, Great Barrier Island, funded by the Department of Māori Affairs. Although he was not Māori, it was promoted as a Māori, SIC, outdoor pursuit program adventure using the environment and outdoor activities to deprogram youth from drug abuse, develop self-esteem and learn skills, Māoritanga and gain confidence. It was a geographically isolated boot camp with harsh conditions, footnote 1, that emphasized survival skills, military-style discipline, subservience, self-sufficiency and hard physical labor. The young people on the program endured what has been described as cruel and inhumane treatment. Footnote 2. This environment which permitted abuse to occur was not Kaupapa Māori and placed Rangatahi Māori at risk. Footnote 1. The chairman of Te Whakapakari Youth Trust referred to the camp as having primitive facilities in letter from the chairman of the Whakapakari Youth Trust to Director General of Social Welfare, the 20th of November 1989, page 2. Footnote 2. Letter from Commissioner for Children Roger McClay to General Manager, Children, Young Persons and Their Families Agency Jackie Brown, the 20th of January 1999, as appended to the witness statement of David Bagley, the 22nd of March 2021. In 1989 John Da Silva established the Whakapakari Youth Trust which in 1990 was approved by the Department of Social Welfare and its successors, and the Community Funding Agency, as an approved Child and Family Support Service under Section 396 of the Children, Young Persons in Their Families Act 1989. It became a social welfare care and protection or youth justice sentencing option at a time when boot camps, including later discredited sentences such as Borstal and corrective training, were seen as the solution to criminal offending by young people. Children and young people in the custody of the Director General of Social Welfare were sent there by social workers or sentenced by judges in the youth court. Many had significant emotional and psychological problems but were not assessed for their needs such as disability or neurodiversity. TAF estimated that 80% of them were Māori, 14% Pākehā, 5% Pacific peoples and 1% other. Footnote 3. Most were male but some were female. They were mostly aged between 14 and 16 years old but some were as young as 12 years old. Footnote 3. Thal, P. Mangati Bay Great Barrier Island Community, a micro-community profile, 2003, page 17. They were sent to the program for between 1 and 6 months. Although the young person or their guardian's consent was required, this was not always obtained. Children and young people were housed in substandard tents, with long drop toilets and little or no hot water for bathing. The daily emphasis was on physically demanding work, such as chopping and moving firewood, hunting and gardening. Footnote 4. Supervisors had guns, ostensibly for hunting, but these were also used to instill discipline and, at times, to facilitate sexual assault. Footnote 5. Footnote 4. Fakapakari Youth Program 15 Report, the 6th to the 30th of June 1989, page 2, in which John Da Silva wrote, "The group were an enthusiastic bunch who thrived on the hard survival tasks such as firewood chopping, digging, etc." Footnote 5. Witness statements of Mr. PM, the 23rd of March 2021, paragraph 45, and Mr. SL, the 28th of July 2022, paragraph 3.141. Survivors described extreme psychological, physical and sexual abuse at Fakapakari, causing severe mental and physical pain. They were also physically, educationally and medically neglected. There is evidence to suggest physical and sexual abuse were used as punishment as well as to intimidate. Instead of being rehabilitated, survivors suffered immense harm from their experiences there. Its geographical isolation made it almost impossible for children and young people to escape and difficult to alert their whānau or social worker to what was happening. The state funded the program until its closure in 2004 but failed to monitor it or to safeguard the children and young people in its care at Fakapakari. It failed to respond to the repeated disclosures of abuse by children and young people sent there. Footnote 6. Footnote 6. See Chapter 6 of this case study, Institutional Response to Abuse and Neglect in Care, and Structural, Systemic and Practical Issues. See also witness statements of Ngatokorima Mawori, the 2nd of July 2021, paragraph 101, and Mr. SL, the 28th of July 2022, paragraph 3.159. There were numerous but inadequate investigations into complaints. Reports and recommendations to close or improve the program were not acted on. Footnote 7. The state's failure to respond to the allegations of abuse and its willingness to continue to support and fund the program in the face of these reports meant that children and young people continued to be subjected to physical, psychological and sexual violence, including rape. Footnote 8. Footnote 7. See for example the 1994 Topsand Report, 1995 Tom Report, 1996 Eggleston Review and 1997 Green Report, which are discussed in Chapter 5 of this case study. See also McClay, R., Final Report by the Commissioner for Children into a Complaint against the Department of Child, Youth and Family, page 5, as appended to the witness statement of David Bagley, the 22nd of March 2021. Footnote 8. See Chapter 6 of this case study, Institutional Response to Abuse and Neglect. Research demonstrates that boot camps and other harsh, short, sharp shock interventions for youth are ineffective at reducing repeat offending. In 1983, before Fakapakari was approved as a provider of state care, Department of Justice research found that 71% of young people reoffended within 12 months of release. Footnote 9. In 1988, reconviction rates of young offenders in these settings were 92%, the highest of any sentence in that year. Footnote 10. This was finally recognized by the Department of Child, Youth and Family in 2004 when it ceased funding of Te Fakapakari Youth Trust, citing research that boot camp type environments do not affect positive change, especially to reduce reoffending. Footnote 11. Footnote 9. Walker, W. and Brown, R., Corrective Training and Evaluation, Study Series No. 10, Department of Justice, 1983. Footnote 10. Caught in the Act, a regular newsletter for the entire youth justice community, Youth Court of New Zealand, Issue 42, April 2009, page 4. Footnote 11. Email from Youth Justice Team Manager to the Department of Child, Youth and Family, the 9th of November 2004. Survivors of Fakapakari suffer from long-term conditions such as PTSD and terror of meeting their abusers. Many were dislocated from their families, whānau and communities. Almost all have experienced drug and alcohol addiction and every one of the survivors has been in prison since they attended the program. Some survivors remain there to this day. The former Minister of Child, Youth and Family, Hon Ruth Dyson, said in a televised article in 2017 exposing the failings of the boot camp at Fakapakari, footnote 12. Footnote 12. Sunday TV NZ, Return to the Island, the 6th of August 2017, aicoms.nz/9692. A lot of government money was put into that program and in the end it resulted in the state funding violence and abuse towards children and young people. That's how horrific it was. Orana Tamariki told the inquiry that enabling children and young people to go into a residential care facility is sometimes referred to as a fully funded failure model. Footnote 13. Footnote 13. Transcript of evidence of Chief Social Worker Peter Whitcomb for Orana Tamariki at the inquiry's State Institutional Response Hearing, Royal Commission of Inquiry into Abuse in Care, the 24th of August 2022, page 876. Boot camps such as Te Fakapakari Youth Program are extreme versions of this failure. Young people were sent to Fakapakari to be straightened out. Instead, their lives were ruined from the abuse they suffered there. Producers note, this audio version of this document was produced on the 28th of July 2024 by Accessible Information and Communications Limited, 2/13 Upland Road, Remuera, Auckland 10-50. Phone 09-320-4173. Email info@aicomps.co.nz. Website www.aicomps.co.nz. This audio production of this document is intended primarily for blind, deafblind and low vision people. Feedback helps us improve the quality of our service. Please contact us to comment or raise any queries regarding our production of this document. End of document.